words from Scripture this morning. They're from Psalm 139. If you have your Bible, Psalm 139, and I'm reading the first 14 verses. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you again for the beautiful gift of your word. How alive and powerful and refreshing. And so, Father, we just give you these moments of our time, and we pray that by your Spirit you would teach us today something new and fresh and something that we can grab hold of and apply in our own lives and our own relationships. And we thank you, Father, because you have something good for each and every person here today. Amen.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, we are different. We are different people. Not just the obvious differences between men and women that are physiological, emotional, social, or physical. We're just different. A four-year-old girl was talking to her dad one day, and she said, Daddy, did God make me? Why, yes, of course he did, Angel. And did God make you as well? That's correct. He did. Seems to me he's doing better work lately. We're different. Not just obvious differences between men and women, but as people with different personalities. Someone said that there are two times when a man doesn't understand a woman. Before marriage and after marriage. Part of that is because we're different. Someone said, you may have heard of the fellow walking down the beach on a blustering autumn day when he stumbled on a bottle and he picked it up and out popped a genie. And the fellow wondered what was going on, but the genie says, I'll grant you one wish, any wish you would like. He thought to himself, well, I'm afraid of flying, and I get seasick on boats, but I'd love to go to Hawaii. It's so cold right now. So could you build me a highway across the Pacific Ocean? Well, the genie considered the request, but decided it was too difficult. It would cost billions of dollars, and it would take a very long time. Don't you have anything else that you would like granted? Well, the fellow said, I've always wanted to know what makes women tick. Why are they so different? And the genie replied, will that be two lanes or four? We're different. We like different flowers. I have learned over the past 25 years of our married life that I should get Penny flowers that she likes. And not necessarily ones that I think she would like. So on Mother's Day this year, I bought her a beautiful, nice, big, droopy pink basket of pansies that could hang nicely at the front entrance of the house. And I didn't tell her this, but I'll admit it to you, that I spent a lot of time trying to remember what color was the right color. And I was spending a lot of time trying to remember which of the flowers that she really didn't like. But the good news was, she loved it. Yes! I had made the right choice. I'm sure glad I wasn't the guy on the game show for married couples who was asked, "What is your wife's favorite flower?" You should have seen her face when her husband said, "Robin Hood All Purpose." We are so different. Different in many ways. The kind of flowers we like, the colors of flowers. We're different even in the way we fight. Yes, you wouldn't believe it. A couple of weeks ago, we actually taught our people in our congregation how to fight. It sounds like you did last week, Brad. Men, we are not prepared for these kind of battles. You probably have heard of the story of the 10 men and the one woman who were hanging on a rope, hanging down below a helicopter, hanging on for dear life. They just got picked out of the water. And they couldn't decide who was going to go because somebody had to go. The rope could not support all of them. And nobody was volunteering. And then finally, the woman said, "I'll volunteer." And then she gave this incredible speech. It was so heartwarming, so touching. She said she will sacrifice her life and to save the others because women are used to giving up things for their husbands and children. And when she finished speaking, all the men started clapping. Men are not prepared for that kind of fighting. We are different. We're different in the number of kinds of items we have in our bathroom. A man has 6 items in his bathroom: a toothbrush, a comb, shaving cream, razor, a bar of soap, and a towel from the Holiday Inn. Not really. I hope not. But the average number of items in a typical woman's bathroom is 337. A man would not be able to identify most of them. Well, we're different. In fact, we're even different in the way we cut the grass. Some of us like to start on the periphery and work our way in. Others go from side to side, and others go from corner to corner. Some of us like to cut the grass in the morning, and some of us like to cut it at night. And I'm going to tell you a true story now. This is a true story. One night at 2 a.m., I'm talking 2 a.m. in the morning, Penny and I woke up to the sound of a lawnmower on our front lawn. You wouldn't have believed it. I opened up the curtain, and on the front lawn were 2 people. One was holding a flashlight down to show where the grass was, and the other person was mowing the lawn. And I thought, how creative. And I went to the door just to tell them how creative I thought they were, and they were running down the street. Well, the next day, the neighbor came over and said, "Bob, I kind of thought you were leaving early in the morning because I heard you cutting the grass early this morning and wondered if you were going on holidays early or forgot to do it and you're just catching up." You know, we are different. We are just different.
Not only are we different, there are many things that we do differently. And one of the things that's really important to know in every relationship, not just your marriage relationship, but in every relationship, really is, which way do I work? Which way do I relate to the world at large? And basically, there's 2 kinds of relators. There's the extroverted relator and the introverted relator. Now, you might be an extrovert, but you might relate as an introvert, so listen carefully to the differences. If you're an extroverted relator, you process information immediately. You speak without pauses. You think out loud. And you feel that you have to fill in any silent spaces in conversation because something must be wrong if it's quiet. If you're an extroverted relator, you're refreshed by interacting with people. And you relate to the outer world of people and things. And you enjoy talking to lots and lots of people. You often need confirmation from other people to get a sense of who you are and how you're doing. And if you're an extroverted relator, you like a new challenge and you're willing to jump in and try something new. And you like to work with people close by. And you're distracted by things in the immediate environment. That's if you're an extroverted relator. Now, what about if you're an introverted relator? You process information much more slowly. You might even speak with some pauses. You like to think before you speak. And you're very comfortable with silence. As a matter of fact, you find solitude quite restorative. And you relate more to the inner world of ideas and thoughts and dreams, and you prefer talking to a few people. And confirmation about who you are really comes from an inner source, not from people out there who are giving you the nod. And you prefer to stand back and check out a new situation before you commit and plunge in. And you, as an introverted relator, enjoy working alone with no interruptions. And you're focused, and you can more easily shut out distraction. Now, why is this important to know? Well, consider this particular couple. We'll call them Tom and Tina. Tom is an introvert, and he is immediately attracted to Tina. She's warm and funny and friendly and just a whole lot of fun. And he thinks to himself, she's so smart. She quickly processes every thought and idea and puts them into action, and she's confident, and she seems to get along with everybody, and they all seem to love her. Yes, Tom decides she's quite a gal. Tina, on the other hand, has a real strong attraction to Tom's quiet confidence. She thinks, oh, he must have it all together. When he speaks, he's so articulate, like he's been thinking about his response for a long, long time. And he's so comfortable just by himself. He can go off on a 4-day camping trip. He can be alone with his thoughts and his dreams. This is wonderful. Yes, Tina's convinced he's quite a guy. And so they get married because they've both found the perfect mate. And so what happens? For example, a month into the marriage, will Tom continue to be attracted to Tina's warm and friendly, outgoing nature? Or will he begin to think things like, why is she talking all the time? And what about Tina? Where is Tom? I haven't seen him for 4 days. There must be something wrong. He's not speaking. Why is he so slow? I just asked him one question and he needs 2 days to think about it. Well, what can we conclude? Have Tom and Tina made a terrible mistake? What's that old saying about opposites attracting? Well, what did we read this morning? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And these words apply to the extroverted relator, and they apply to the introverted relator. And sometimes in a marriage, it takes a long time to figure out what's going on. In our relationship, I'm an introvert by nature, but I'm quite an extroverted relator. And I literally, probably for the first 5 or even more years, would chase Bob around the house, just longing for a good discussion, even argument. But he wouldn't bite. I can remember standing outside the bathroom door. We'd move from every single room in the house, and finally he was barricaded in there, knocking on the door. Could I explain it one more way? No, that wasn't helpful. And so it's important in every relationship to get a sense of who you are, and then to have an understanding of who your partner or your coworker is. If you are an introvert, you need to let the extrovert know you are processing the information and you need time to do that, so that your lack of immediate response is not going to be interpreted as you don't care. And if you are an extroverted relator, you need to let your introverted partner know that you are not nagging or pressuring, but simply thinking out loud. And the key is not to want to change yourself or the other person, but to remember that both are fearfully and wonderfully made.
So obviously we've talked about a few different things here that are telling us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the idea is we're just different. And another way we're just different is how we handle money. And you may have heard that we marry for two reasons. Wife says, "I think you married me because my dad left me a fortune." And the husband said, "That's not true. I don't care who left you the fortune." The Bible gives us, you know, over 2,000 verses about money, dealing with money and money management. And we deal with it in different ways. You know, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, don't forget that it's God who gives you the ability to make money. So make sure you take care of him and give back to him what is due him. Ecclesiastes 5 and 19 says the same thing, that this is a gift of God when he blesses you. Proverbs 23 and 4 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have wisdom to show restraint. And Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. So there's all kinds of teaching in the Bible about money. And but how we handle money is often very different. Let me explain to you myself. This is me. I am always looking for coupons. I have no problem looking for coupons in the paper or whatever comes in the mail, that kind of stuff, because I think that's responsible stewardship of money. If I can get something for a buck cheaper, that's good. That's a good thing. So, you know, if I was honest with you, yeah, sometimes I drive a few extra miles to get gas, and yeah, I might have spent that money that I was going to save going to get that gas, but I haven't quite arrived there yet. The same with groceries. I might find a better deal somewhere else, but yeah, I might drive a little further to get that, because in my mind, I think it's a better deal. And I got to tell you, it hurts me a little bit too much to buy my plastic bags. I can't do that. That hurts. I'm one of these guys who will phone a store or two or three stores to find out where the best price is for the same item. I'm one of these guys, if there's two available brands, I will check the labels and make sure all the right stuff's in them, and then I have no problem buying the generic brand, providing that all the stuff is there. Anybody relating to me here? Some of you getting me? Yeah. When I go to a restaurant, I order water to drink. Because in my mind, some of you are with me now. In my mind, I'm thinking, if I decide to get dessert, half of it's paid for already. So So that's how my thinking takes place. You may be different. You might think, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy what I want. There's no thinking process. You don't look through the papers for coupons and to save a couple of bucks. That would be extra work. That would be a hassle. That would be basically ridiculous and a waste of time. For a buck? Are you kidding? Well, we are different in the way we spend money. Some are savers and some are spenders. And together in relationships, they can make for a very interesting dynamic. And I think it's important that we understand this dynamic. It will be helpful. Consider two spenders. Unless you have limited resources, you will run out of money and get into trouble. Things like eating out all the time and going out going on expensive vacations without any concern for cost will cost you big time. This can easily turn into no money in the bank and thousands of dollars of credit card bills. All of a sudden, having children, buying the house or car or computer, have to go on hold because you poor spending pattern. This itself can lead to strained relationships. Think about two savers. In a household where both spouses are careful about money, you might have trouble enjoying yourselves. You might not be spending a lot of energy thinking about the future, you're thinking a lot about the future and not focusing on the present. You can be really proud of yourselves. You put away money every month, and your savings account and your investment portfolio is increasing. Most months you're even able to save more than you planned. You never owe money on your credit cards. You both bring bagged lunches and you eat out not very frequently. You are prepared for the future, yet it may be that you are having trouble enjoying yourselves. You talk about money constantly. And anytime you go out together, you're focusing on how much it costs or if it's worth it. Sometime, and we've had to do this, sometime you just have to let it go and go for it. You find it difficult to relax, just to have a good time, because you're being too cautious. But whether you or your spouse are both savers, both spenders, or one of each, I want to encourage you to both be involved in the financial planning. Both be a part of it. It's not somebody's personal account. It's your account together. And so I want to encourage that in you. Well, we've just kind of touched. There's many things that we could have talked about this morning that tell us how different we are. The bottom line is we're different. We're just different. So let's celebrate the fact. So accept, expect, and respect the differences. You've heard people say, the Bible says, the two are to become one. Well, somebody said, which one? God has designed us to be who we are. We are not to be made into the image of somebody else. But God has designed us to be made into His image, the people that He has designed us to be.
We've really only touched on a few things, and I couldn't help thinking that there's probably just one more thing we should just for a moment touch on. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you remembering, like, 2 weeks ago, that Saturday night, when you and I had a little bit of a difference?
You are a vision of beauty. A wonder to touch.
Are you nuts? They'll be here in half an hour. There's still so much to do.
There's lots of time. How about I help you with all the work and we have a little less time? We haven't made love in a week, a month, a year.
You can't guilt me into us time, and I need your help anyways.
So are you saying there's a little chance of...
Little chance is right. How about one in a million?
Excellent. There is a chance.
We really are different. You might think that in a household where there's two pastors or two counselors as we are, the relationship is just so easy and smooth. Why, it's just a vision to be shared with the whole community. Sadly, not so much. You know, early on in our relationship, we tried to develop different communication styles that would work for us. And at one point, we came up with the Armstrong Every Day is Christmas form of communicating. It went like this. Do you see what I see?
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you know what I know?
Listen to what I say.
A child, a child.
What did you say?
Nothing, sweetheart. Anyway, it all led to a silent night. So we had to put that aside. We had to put that aside. And after all our years of being married and all our years of studying and doing all the things we've done, we simply returned to the Word of God, where we started this morning. And I have to be honest, I have to confess, that usually I go to these verses, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I go there for myself. I go there when I'm hurting or I feel misunderstood, or maybe our relationship has just hit one of those bumpy patches, and so I go there for comfort. But I think what God has been saying to me more recently is, will you go there for Bob? Will you pray those same words over him and remember that he, in all of his differentness, in all of the ways he views things so differently from me, will I still pray and bless him with those words that he is fearfully and wonderfully made? And all of God's works are wonderful. And I need to know that full well. And so I simply say to you this morning, what about you? When you read those words and they bless your own heart, do you extend them to your spouse? Do you extend them to that boss that's just driving you nuts? What about that child that's just in that awkward age? What about your pastor or the church board? We're all different. We're all unique. And yet, the word is clear. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just different? I think that sounds like another opportunity to pour grace. Just as we have received grace, let's pour grace on our differentness. For just as we are known and we are loved and we are celebrated by a loving Father, so are all of his children. And we celebrate in that this morning.
We've asked the worship team if they would lead us in a song. Now, if you want to come, worship team, he knows my name. I understand that you've been introduced to it at Jericho, and it's a great song. And it talks about God, who is our maker, who's formed our heart. He knows our name. He knows who we are. And, you know, sometimes we have a difficult time just accepting who we are as people. And how in the world are we going to love others as Jesus calls us to love others if we don't love ourselves? Can you accept yourself as just being different today? You're just different. Now, I'm not talking about excuses in areas where you need to grow. You know, I don't. When people come to me and they say to me, "Well, that's just the way I am. I got married this way, and I'm just the same." And I don't buy that. We all have room to grow. But in our growing, to be able to say, God, you've done good work. And he has. He's done good work. And the quicker we get to the place where we just accept who we are and allow the differences in our life and the differences in others, the quicker we're going to be settled in our own spirits. So let's sing this song together and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. And whatever he says to you this morning, will you just let him do his work? Let him do his work.